Hi everyone, my name is Tom Tubergen and I've been busy teaching a class here at the CLI about marketing and how you can apply that to any of the ministry applications that you're taking part in or want to be a part of going forward. And the particular module that we're talking about here in the last video and again in this video and the next several videos is something called the SWOT analysis, where SWOT stands for strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Today we're going to talk about implementing SWOT Part 2, which is looking at defining a company or an organization's weaknesses. One of the points that I did want to make here is that a SWOT analysis is a very powerful process to go through on several different levels, not only as part of an organization or some sort of a larger process of that sort, but even on a personal level to go through and to identify your strengths, your personal weaknesses, opportunities that are being put in front of you and the threats that you're being faced with. So a lot of what you're learning in this SWOT analysis segment can be applied on a personal level, and that's really important to note. However, going forward, what I'm going to be talking about is how you apply SWOT analysis to an organization such as a church or a religious organization or some sort of a ministry application. And I'm going to refer to these as company weaknesses. Every owner needs to believe that his or her business is always running smoothly. So this particular part of the SWOT analysis is not exactly a favorite topic to talk about. It takes a lot of honesty, a lot of soul searching, but it's really vital information. And you're going to need to truthfully access a lot of these weaknesses within your business, within your ministry, within your organization for this part of the SWOT analysis to really be effective. And again, I'm referring to a chart that you had from the last segment where it's divided into four quadrants of strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. So how do you define a company or an organization's weaknesses within a SWOT analysis? Weaknesses are internal factors that inhibit, that they constrain, that they suppress your business or leave you at some sort of a competitive disadvantage. The same categories that apply to your strengths column that we reviewed in the previous segment from earlier can also be reapplied here in terms of where, if they're not strengths, then maybe they're weaknesses. So we'll talk about that in more detail here. So how do you go through the process of defining your weaknesses personally or for your ministry application? In your brainstorming session, you're going to want to include a variety of employees, assuming that you have a variety of employees or any employees at all. And you're going to together kind of work through what's going on, what challenges do you consistently face, what sort of constraints do you have financially or with talent or any of these categories. And you're going to put this information on your four-box SWOT template that I just referred to. And you have the ability to download that template off of this course resources if you haven't done so already. So let's talk about some of the categories where you really want to take a look at your weaknesses and consider your weaknesses. Financial resources is probably one of the obvious ones. It includes revenue streams, investments, diversified income, grants, donations, whatever. What kind of weaknesses do you have there? Is it abrupt? Does it start? Does it stop? Does it get to a point where you have to stop what you're doing and go out and raise money to continue on? Or do you actually have a stream of money that's just consistently coming in every month that enables you to spend more time focusing on what you're doing as a core ministry application? Physical items like buildings. What kind of equipment do you have to rent or do you own? Do you own any buildings? Do you have access to rent a building or equipment or places that you can meet? Intellectual property. things like patents, copyrights, and trademarks would fall into this category. And this may seem a little bit kind of an odd thing, but there are ministry organizations that publish a lot of material. They create graphics design type stuff and content. And this all falls under the category of intellectual property. And it needs to be protected. Human resources. Think of your employees. How are they managed? How are volunteers who donate their time, how are they managed? How are they scheduled? How is their talents maximized to bring your ministry further down the road? And even the mentoring application. Key players. Who are the key people, the vital people in your organization or your business? And what sort of talents, what sort of capabilities do they have to bring you another step closer to your mission statement? Employee programs. What kind of drawbacks do you have about any programs to help your employees or your volunteers really excel at what they do? And I'm thinking specifically of training. I'm thinking of cross workflow, cross training type applications. If somebody is unable to show up to work for a week, that there are other people that are capable, that know enough about what's going on to be able to cover for them. Systems and processes, company workflow includes best work practices. Very, very important. It enables a very consistent output of work, quality of work, quality of services that you are doing for people. It's not a potluck situation where you're making meals for homeless people or people who are shut-ins, for example, and today you hit a home run and tomorrow it's like, well, all they got is pork and beans out of a can. So systems and processes allow you to plan ahead, produce very consistent outflow of work. Company culture is another big one, surprisingly. And this is really the type of environment that your employees work in. Are you working together as a team? Are you working together as a team to achieve a specific goal or literally to survive a toxic environment for one more day? You need to think about that. Company reputation. What is the reputation of your ministry application? Or even your business, and that is referred to as goodwill. Do you have credibility out in your particular community for delivering what you say you intend to deliver? Market position. You need to consider how your business fits in the overall market. So in other words, if you have other organizations, say from another denomination, for example, or even some other type of religious organization, whether it's Muslim or who knows what, you need to understand how what you're doing fits into that big picture. What are they doing that is directly competitive to what you're doing, and how do you fit, and how do you deliver your products, your services to that community? And then you need to also consider growth potential. Think about how your business is positioned for future growth. And sometimes that's kind of a ironic situation when you're dealing with a nonprofit that is trying to serve people and help people that are homeless or help people with meals, help people with, you know, whatever the situation is. You're not necessarily looking for positive growth to serve more and more of these people. I mean, ideally, the situation is you want to help people move past and grow out of that particular situation that you're dealing with there. So let's talk about some of the questions that you need to ask to find out, to identify what your company, what your ministry's weaknesses are. We've gone over a number of those categories, about six or seven of them, but to kind of help you along a little bit further, I did compile a list of some of these questions that are going to help you identify the weaknesses that you have that you might be facing. And these questions follow the categories that we just kind of went through. Some of them might not elicit a negative response, and if that's the case, then you don't have a weakness in that area. Maybe it's neither a strength or a weakness. Maybe it's just kind of middle of the road sort of a thing. On the other hand, maybe it's a strength. So, and then you can kind of move past the particular category questions. Some of the starter questions. In what areas does your company, does your ministry really struggle to deliver what you say you wanted to deliver, your mission statement? Why is it that you exist? What are you trying to do? And why is it that you're not doing it? Are you doing a good job? Could you do a better job? And then the second question is, are there reasons that customers go elsewhere? Do they know about you? Does everybody in your target community, target area of influence, does everybody in that area that you want to talk to, that you want to serve, do they know about you? Does something specific stop you from performing at your best? What specific things stop you from performing at your best? And you want to itemize those things, because no matter how well you do something, next year there's always just that kind of that next level up the hill. Financial. What financial resources or specific lack of financial resources are holding you back? And talk about how that's holding you back. What could you do specifically? What would life look like if you had those financial resources? And when you go through that exercise of identifying what a perfect life would be like, if you had the financial resources to do what you wanted to do, you're in a position where you're able to go back out to your donor community and say, if we had this money available, this is what we could get accomplished. Does business get its revenue from one main revenue stream? And if so, is diversification a concern? What we're talking about here is, it's always a dangerous situation when a business is depending on a single customer for 80% of their work. That customer decides to go out of business, they go bankrupt, they switch to another supplier, and all of a sudden you're kind of left, you know, waving in the breeze, like a shirt on a clothesline, for example. And the other last question here is, are you really preparing for your own financial future? What are you doing to prepare for that financial future? So you need to think about all this stuff here. There's a lot of deeper implications to these three questions that we're asking here. And when you start getting in tune with that, you're in a position where you'll be able to talk intelligently to the people who are enabling your ministry to go forward, whether it's a larger church organization that you're a part of, whether you have your own donor community that's been built up. You need to be able to very explicitly articulate what kind of things are holding you back. And if you had those things available, if you had those resources, here's what life is going to look like. Here's how you're going to be solving problems in your community. So physical type of things, like buildings, what physical assets are creating a problem? Is the roof leaking? Do you even have a building to be in? What sort of office environment do you have? Do you have the furniture? Do you have the computers? Do you have cell phones? Do you have the stuff that you need to have to actually do business as a nonprofit? What condition is your office in? Is it a place that would attract people? Is it comfortable? Is the heat working? Is the air conditioning functional? Do you have furniture to sit on that's not going to collapse when somebody sits on it? Those are the kind of things that we need to talk about. But even further than that, we'd want to take a look at, do the people who come in to volunteer, do the people that are actually employed by your nonprofit ministry application, do they have the equipment they need to do the job that they were asked to do? So if you're preparing meals for shut-ins, if you're preparing meals for homeless, and all of a sudden one day your stove goes out, or one of your two stoves decides not to work, or you're constantly playing around with a circuit breaker to keep that electric stove operating, or what? Who knows what? How does that hamper your mission? So you need to kind of step back and think about where your problems are here, and you need to prioritize the low-hanging fruit, the easiest things that you have available to fix, and you need to devote your attention to that. Intellectual property, I mentioned that a little while ago. Certain ministry nonprofits will have a lot, can actually create a lot of intellectual property, whether it's booklets or pamphlets or workbooks or any of this type of material. And that is all stuff that you need to give some thought to putting copyright information on there. Trademarks, patents may not be quite as important, but certainly a copyright kind of a thing to protect your work. And don't necessarily want to hold it to just constantly take credit for that kind of stuff, but you want to control who's using your stuff, why they're using it, how they're using it. And that's really kind of the purpose behind this. Are there any governmental red tape type issues that is keeping you from moving forward with your ministry application? And I'm thinking of things there like just different documentation that's needed. And sometimes this can even be a competitive advantage for you. If you have licenses and you have different capabilities that have been approved by the government, if you're in food service especially, they have to come and do their inspections and all that kind of stuff, this is where that's going to be important, that you have those capabilities and you keep that up to date. Does your company take too long to file for patents? Not sure how much that would really apply here, because you're not doing research and development per se. You could be in a situation, I think, where copyright may be much more applicable here than patents or trademarks. Human resources. What kind of human resources capabilities and functions do you have? If you're part of a larger church, sometimes they will have a human resources department where they will be taking care of things like payroll and benefits, and they will manage a lot of that stuff kind of inherently as part of what they do. Are there any of these departments that are lacking or inefficient? And again, that's kind of something that may or may not be a concern for you. But the last one I think is probably more important. What types of programs do you have in place to improve your ministry, the quality of the ministry that you are delivering? And this is probably the part of human resources that is most overlooked, and that is people are working with you. They're involved in your nonprofit because they believe in what you're doing, first and foremost. When that stops, it's not long before they're getting a paycheck from someplace else. So you need to make sure that they know what you're doing, why you're doing it, and secondly, from a human resource perspective, you need to focus on helping them to do it better. It's not you doing it better, it's your job as the head honcho, as the CEO of this ministry organization, is to recruit people who believe in what you're doing and help them to do it better. Company workflow. We're talking a lot here about systems and processes. What areas can be improved in when it comes to workflow? One of the things that creates world-class, best-in-class businesses, the businesses or the companies that are really leaders in their line of work, is the profound presence of systems and processes. And it starts from the time you unlock the door in the morning to the time you lock it up at night and go home. There is a system, there's a process for everything that happens throughout that day. From opening the mail and processing payments or checks or donations, and sending them thank you letters, to depositing this money in bank accounts, there is just a very detailed process that is articulated that everybody is aware of, that they know this is their job, this is what I'm expected to do on every day when I come to work. And processes and systems helps you to really handle the general day-to-day tests that need to get done in any organization, whether it's profit-making or a nonprofit, to help them run so that the CEO, that leadership, can really focus on what's really what the things that really count, the things that help that organization to deliver on its commitments towards its mission statement of delivering certain services, certain products, certain goods. So systems and processes, if you're especially setting up a new ministry situation or a new nonprofit, systems and processes are probably the highest priority that you need to focus on. Company culture is another aspect of the human resources paradigm here. Are you happy with the company culture that you've created? And, you know, every organization that I interface with as a consultant struggles with this. It's just human nature. You get a crowd of people of, 10, 20, 30 people that are working in a particular organization, there's always going to be somebody in there that's kind of the Debbie Downer or the somebody that's really kind of toxic. You need to be very tuned in to what that does. That does an immense amount of damage to an organization if you have those types of people who are kind of spraying their poison, I guess. Be very careful about company culture, ministry culture, and do not delay. If you're in a position where you have control of that, don't hesitate to make changes because it really drags everybody else down if somebody is constantly being negative or spreading toxic poison or gossip or whatever. It's not a good situation. Don't hesitate to take that individual aside and just suggest that maybe it would be there's a better place for them to be on a daily basis. Company reputation, how does the public see your company? What do they think of when they think of your organization name? Do you deliver on your promises? Do you live up to your commitments that you've made to your donors? Do you live up to your reputation or your commitments that you've made with the people in the community that you're serving? What sort of things do you need to think about to improve that or repair it? If you don't have a good reputation, there's not much that's going to happen going forward. The donations will always be hard to come by. The revenue that will support your ministry is going to be very hard. It's going to be like pulling teeth to get it. And the community is going to literally just vote with their feet. So if you don't have a good reputation, do some serious soul searching. Marketing position. This is really related to a profit-making situation, a business that exists to make money. But in a certain context, you could look at this and say, well, what kind of position does my ministry have in the marketplace? In other words, in my community, in my area of influence, what kind of position does it have? Am I top dog? Am I delivering the best value for these people? So you want to think through that. If you're only serving a small portion of it, of what these people need, of what your clients, of your constituents, what they need to have, you need to think that through. What are you delivering? Why aren't you delivering what they need to have? It'll affect your market position. You'll be end up being kind of the go-to organization for your services. Growth potential. You know, I mentioned a few minutes ago that there's some really rather ironic, when you're dealing with issues of poverty or healthcare or hunger or whatever the situation might be, you kind of hesitate to say, well, what's the growth potential here? You know, you exist to kind of solve some of these problems. But what problems, what plans is it that you have to deal with these issues in your community. You're not going to solve world poverty, but what, or world hunger, but what are you doing right here in your community to cope with the issue of people being hungry or not having appropriate health care? And, you know, the other competitive nonprofit organizations that exist in your area, if you're in a more populated area, maybe you've got other churches that are kind of doing the same thing. What are they doing to cope with this problem that you're also chasing? Are they doing things in a way that you can't do them? And what is it, that, again, that's holding your business or your ministry back from growing? What is it that is limiting your ability to reach everybody in your community that really needs your help? So some tips here to kind of list your weaknesses out. The soul searching that you need to do really can be kind of difficult. Be open-minded about it. As your employees or your donors or somebody from like a sponsoring church or somebody start suggesting weaknesses that they perceive that you have, sometimes those perceptions are more important than the actual truth. You need to pay attention to that. You need to be open-minded about it. You need to sort of like, why did they say that? What is their agenda? It's likely that they're going to bring up some sort of weakness you haven't thought of, or even disagree when it happens. But whatever you do, don't be judgmental. There's a reason they brought it up. There's a reason they brought this to your attention, that they perceive that there's a weakness there. So when you're doing this weakness analysis, part of the SWOT analysis, and you're studying your weaknesses, it's not a good time to be wearing rose-colored glasses. It's the time for just pure, blatant honesty. Be prepared to take a look at your business or your organization or your ministry inside and out from a very critical level. What are you doing well? What aren't you doing well?